You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
There was no cannon salute, and a typical ceremony provided to a head of state was missing. There was no brass band normally used to announce the departure of a dignitary. Nevertheless, 40 days after his resurrection, when Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, ascended into the heavens, the occasion was dramatic, it was touching, it was divinely official, and for his followers, it was a scene they would never, ever forget. It was 40 days after the joyous Easter resurrection celebration, and Jesus was meeting for the very last time with some of his closest followers. They had gone outside of Jerusalem as far as the village of Bethany. There the blessed Savior gave his final words to his disciples. We read in the inspired account of the first chapter of the book of Acts, "And after Jesus had said these things, he was lifted up while the disciples were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky, while Jesus was departing, behold, two men, two angels, in white clothing, stood beside the disciples, and they also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven.'" Oh, it must have been exciting to see Jesus ascending into the heavens. He was lifted up, the scriptures say, while they were watching, a cloud received him out of their sight. But don't you suppose that these followers who witnessed the Savior's dramatic disappearance probably also felt pretty much the same way you and I sometimes feel? We believe that Jesus is powerful. Indeed, we believe that Jesus did all those stunning miracles recorded in the Bible. We have no quarrel with the fact that Jesus used his divine power to raise the dead. And yet, the questions keep lingering on in the back of our minds. Where is Jesus now? And what is he doing? Now, there is no use and no need to guess about these things. Pious religious speculation never builds faith. It only creates more uncertainty and anxiety. Religious theorizing may even cause the eternal destruction of the soul. Therefore, for the answer to this question, let us turn to the sacred scriptures, where we are given the light of learning, the divine counsel, and the blessed assurance of the Word of God. Where is Jesus now and what is he doing? In the book of Romans chapter 8 we read, "Jesus Christ is he who died, yes, rather the one who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, and who also intercedes for us." In the book of Hebrews chapter 7 we read, "Jesus is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since Jesus always lives to make intercession for his followers." One of the things that Jesus is now doing, according to the Bible, is this. Jesus is interceding at the throne of God on behalf of all those who follow him, all those who trust in him, and all those who believe in him, yes, those who place their unqualified faith in him as Savior and Lord. It is this same Jesus who is now preparing an eternal home for all of his followers. Therefore, when feelings of frustration fly into your face, and when discouragement drags you into the depths of despair, and when even your best efforts seem so futile, then rest assured in this solemn promise of God that Jesus is now sitting in power and authority at the right hand of God the Father. He is waiting to intercede and to help you. Your Savior, now sitting in this divinely appointed position of authority, is waiting every hour for you to come to him, to lean on his mercy and to rest on his grace, so that he might intercede before God's throne of grace on your behalf. Oh, this precious privilege of being Jesus' special friend is guaranteed to all who stop trusting in their own self-righteousness, and to all who are now trusting only in the redeeming, perfect righteousness of the blessed Redeemer. This privileged status of possessing Jesus by faith as your personal divine intercessor before God's almighty throne shall certainly, yes, this shall certainly be yours as you focus your eyes of faith not on the things of this world which corrupt and destroy, but instead on the crucifixion wounds of Christ, those bloody stripes which cleanse and heal. Not long ago, a listener to this program wrote our counseling department. She poured out her heart and said, "I am writing this letter praying that I can get some help. I am so worried," she said, "that I might not go to heaven. I hope that the Lord will forgive me," she added. Now, in her sincere prayer for help, this guilt-ridden lady was echoing the sounds of endless anguish now suppressed in the hearts of so many millions. Marriages are in trouble, you know this as well as I do, and when marriages are in trouble, then guilt sets in. Murderous abortions take place, inevitable strangulation of the condemned conscience automatically follows. Family quarrels occur, and life-draining regret ensues. The word of God is spurned, the infection of sin manifests itself, and the hell of regret and remorse then takes over. Oh yes, sin has made a mess of the world, and your sin and mine has made a mess of our lives. It is for this reason, and for this reason alone, that this radio ministry has been on the air for over a half century. No person connected with this ministry of hope can ever claim any credit whatsoever for the hearts that have been helped and the countless souls that have been saved. Instead, in humility, we confess with Isaiah that the Spirit of the Lord has been upon us. The Lord has anointed us to bring good news to the afflicted, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives of sin, and freedom to the prisoners of a guilty conscience. With all the God-given strength within us, it is our sincere desire here on this gospel broadcast, through the power of the everlasting gospel, to comfort all those who are now mourning. Of course, all of this help and comfort comes through the crucified and resurrected Lord Jesus. For Jesus, he and he alone is constantly interceding for you and me at the throne of God's grace. And so, let's ask the question again. What is Jesus doing for you and me now? Jesus is interceding for us. He is working on your behalf before the Heavenly Father's throne. Jesus died on the cross. He rose from the dead. He offered himself as the perfect sacrifice for your sin. And now, Jesus is waiting to intercede for you every time you fail. Yes, every time you are weak, and every time you come to him in prayer. And so, my friend, instead of wallowing in self-pity, instead of throwing up your hands in disgust and despair, because of the problems you are now facing, move ahead of your mistakes. In the name of Jesus Christ, and through total trust in his sin-cleansing blood, let your past sins forever be gone. Oh, don't look back at them anymore. The blood of Jesus Christ, shed on Calvary's cross, has paid for every last sin and mistake that you have ever made in your whole life. The sin sacrifice of Jesus, offered up on the cross and accepted by God the Father for you, was perfect. It was complete. No more daily sacrifices are now necessary. In the Old Testament, the priests had to offer up sacrifices regularly. But since the death of Jesus, this is no more necessary. For your assurance and peace of mind, listen not to my explanation or that of any man, but to God's explanation as recorded in his holy word, Hebrews chapter 9, where we read, "There is no intention that Jesus should offer himself regularly, like the high priest of the Old Testament did, entering the Holy of Holies every year with the blood of another creature. For that would mean," the scriptures say, "that would mean that Jesus would have to suffer death every time he entered heaven from the beginning of the world." No, the Bible says, the fact is that now at this point in time, Jesus has appeared once for all to abolish sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as surely as it is appointed for all men to die, the scriptures say, and after that pass to their judgment, so it is certain that Jesus Christ was offered once to bear the sin of many, and after that To those who look for him, Jesus shall appear a second time, not this time to deal with sin, but to bring to full salvation those who eagerly await him. Oh yes, my friend, it's all over. Jesus Christ's suffering for your sin is complete. This verdict of victory was proclaimed loudly from Calvary's cross when Jesus, with the full weight of sin upon him, yes, the sin of the whole world, when he cried out in victory from the cross and said, "It is finished." The atonement for sin, then, is complete. And to place his public stamp of official approval on what his beloved Son did, God the loving Father raised him from the dead. But that's not all. 40 days later, Jesus ascended into heaven. And this week is the annual celebration of the festival of the Ascension of our Lord. And now this Jesus who ascended into heaven is waiting every hour, yes, every minute, to intercede at the throne of God on your behalf. Did you know that you have such a friend in life? No wonder we have the hymn entitled, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." The hymn writer writes it this way: "Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer." Politicians and lobbyists would give their right arm if only they had a direct connection, a special in with the president or the prime minister or the king. Let this message then today, based on the Word of God, be for you some of the very best news that you have ever heard. In your times of discouragement, always know that you are not alone. You have a friend in high places. You have a special connection. This friend and connection is Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the Christ who was offered once to bear the sin of many, and now he is at the right hand of God, and he also intercedes for us. Oh, having Jesus Christ intercede for you and me at the throne of God is a great comfort that no medicine or therapy could ever provide. But Jesus promises you and me even more. At the end of his public ministry, and just before his ascension, Jesus spoke these words to his followers. Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." How is it possible for Jesus to be in heaven and among his followers on earth at the same time? No one can fully explain this. We can discuss it, and certainly we ought to rejoice in it. But we can never provide an adequate explanation to satisfy logic and reason. This glorious assurance of God's constant daily presence among his people, and this consolation for the discouraged and the weary, was described centuries ago by the psalmist who said, "Where can I go from thy spirit? Or where can I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, hell, behold, thou art also there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there thy hand will lead me, and thy right hand will lay hold of me." Oh, yes, on that day when Jesus ascended, this must have been a time of mixed emotion. On the one hand, we can almost see the tears in the eyes of the disciples as Jesus disappeared from sight. We can identify, can't we, with the emptiness they must have felt deep in their hearts as their master departed? But let's make a special point. The attitude associated with the ascension within the Christian church over the centuries has not been one, I repeat, has not been one of tears, sorrows, and remorse. Just the opposite. In the Christian church, in every century, this celebration of the ascension has always been a time of great festivity and glorious celebration. The festival of the Ascension has for centuries been consistently seen as one of the high points of the entire church year. And for just one example, let me point out today the idea included in the church prayer called the Collect, read during the festival of the Ascension. Note the powerful, positive, and upbeat attitude expressed. "We pray that we may ascend in heart and mind and continually live with Christ as we believe that he has ascended into the heavens." And also, as we focus in on Christ's departure, so also let us never forget the promise given by the two men in white, the angels, those who spoke to the bewildered disciples just after Jesus disappeared into the clouds. These angels said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come again in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven." Oh, this hope, this excitement, and this anticipation of the believers that Jesus shall soon return in glory was echoed in a most positive, graphic, and faith-strengthening way by the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the Thessalonians and said, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus St. Paul says, we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, the scriptures say, comfort one another with these words." And so, my friend, in your moments of misery and on those days when nothing seems to go right, then rejoice as you recall the great celebration of the Savior's ascension. Take heart and be encouraged. Jesus has not deserted you. In a miraculous way that only God can accomplish, the blessed Savior walks every day alongside those who by faith receive him. He is the unseen guest at every meal in the Christian home. And at the same time, in a miraculous way that no man can ever comprehend, Jesus now sits at the right hand of God, the position of all power and authority. And this Jesus is constantly interceding for you and for all those who trust in his sin-cleansing and life-giving power. And so there is no need to wonder anymore where Jesus is and what he is doing. There is no need to wish that he had not ascended. Instead, let the joy-filled words of the two men dressed in white, present at the ascension, yes, let the special words of these angelic witnesses give you hope and strength on this special day, this majestic festival of the glorious and majestic ascension of our blessed Lord. May the Spirit of God give you courage this day. Don't stand around wondering or looking up into the sky. For this same Jesus who has gone up into heaven shall also return in the same way as he ascended triumphantly into the heavens. Today is a day of great celebration. Jesus has ascended, and he shall return to take with him forever all those who look forward to his appearing. I pray to God that on that grand day when Jesus returns, that you are going to be gathered in with him and be one of them. Amen.